It may be the month of March, the first weekend in March, but in our next segment, we're going to recap and reflect on Super Bowl 57. We are going to visit with Pro Football Hall of Famer, the great legendary coach Dick Vermeil, get his thoughts about the unique opportunity to watch two of his former teams play each other in the Super Bowl. And Coach, we certainly appreciate you carving out some time on this Saturday. How are you?
I'm doing fine. Yeah, I'm very, very fortunate.
Well, we've got a lot to unpack, so let's talk about Patrick Mahomes and how he led the Chiefs to their second NFL title in 4 years. And in doing so, the Chiefs become the second team in NFL history to come back from a double-digit halftime deficit to win the Super Bowl. And it truly was, from start to finish, it was remarkable to watch. I just have to wonder, what were your expectations coming in? Because there certainly was a lot of hype.
Well, you know, having coached both teams and living in the Philadelphia area, right, but never working for the Eagle organization that owns the team today, and having worked 5 years with the Chiefs, I sort of felt like Kelsey's parents. Having a son.
Conflicted, yeah.
But, you know, I'm watching the game, and we had guests over here, and I'm watching the game, and something big would happen for one team, and I had a hard time being really excited about it because if it happened good for one team, it was not good for the other. So I watched the game in constant conflict. But all said and done, you know, I was happy for the Hunt family because I did work for them. I was happy for Andy Reid, as I would have been for the Eagles. But it was a different feeling for me watching a football game.
Well, I know that you and Andy Reid, head coach of the Chiefs, are super close. Did you have a special message for him before the game? Because from what I understand, I mean, you really have served as a mentor to Andy.
No, not really. He gives me more credit than I've learned more from Andy than he's learned from me, believe me. But no, I've just known him over the years in Philadelphia, coached against him a few times and have stayed in contact with him, you know, and having coached the Chiefs. I go into one game a year as a guest of the Chiefs since I'm around him, and we text back and forth from time to time. So, you know, and I sort of study what he does, and I'm just so impressed with how his offense has matured. And of course, now with Patrick, it makes everything they do offensively even a little bit better, you know.
You know, when we talk about Andy Reid, Terry Bradshaw asked him in postgame immediately if he would return in 2023. How much gas does he have left in his tank? How much longer do you think he will remain in coaching? Because just listening to him, I mean, he's very passionate. It seems like he could go another 10 years.
Well, I hope he can. You know, I made the mistake of not doing that the first time around. And I understand people asking him what his intentions are. But I think, you know, Andy has been through some different turmoils in his life with family issues and lost big games and lost the Super Bowl before. But, you know, he has wonderful emotional stability and a great ability to prioritize and categorize things within his life and his career. And, you know, he's one of those guys that can have an issue and go to work and the issue's behind him and then come home and solve the issue there. You know, so a lot of very few people have, I think, that strong an attribute as Andy Reid does.
Well, and I was going to say, could you share with our listeners something about him as a head coach that perhaps we don't know that makes him so special? I mean, you can just see the love, the affinity from the players. I mean, he's got their attention and their heart.
Well, you know, he has great integrity. He never cons anybody. I don't think he's ever said anything to a player that he wasn't willing to back up. They, you know, they have great trust in their leader, and that, you know, that's number one. If they don't listen to you, they don't play well, you know. And I think Andy has coached long enough to appreciate the maturity of his philosophy, the maturity of his scheme, you know. And right now we can all say no one consistently does it better offensively. And I would say this, if they didn't have Patrick Mahomes, mm-hmm, they would have somebody else doing it almost as well. That's just Andy. He's always going to have a quarterback that can play well. Now, may never have another one like Patrick because he might be the only one that's ever been made. Okay, all the unique divisions.
Yeah.
He does.
Uh-huh. But,
You know, I just think there are certain guys like Andy Reid that really never really have a true quarterback problem.
He is Super Bowl winning, legendary coach, Pro Football Hall of Famer. We absolutely love him. That is the great Dick Vermeil joining us on this Saturday afternoon Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. And it's so interesting as you talk about, you know, your dear friend in Andy Reid, and you mentioned trust. He definitely has been able to establish that with his players. So how do you build trust with your players? Because when you look at his body of work since becoming the Chiefs head coach, I mean, they've advanced to the playoffs 9 out of 10 times, or nine out of 10 seasons.
Yeah, well, you know, trust is not a physical thing. It's an emotional thing. And it takes a while to earn it. And you earn it with credibility. And you can't buy credibility.
Yeah.
It's through your example. It's through your integrity. You do what you say you're going to do. And you live right out in front of everybody and do everything you're telling them to do. And you as the leader, are a living example of what you're preaching as a leader. And all those things build confidence in what your leader is saying. And there's probably very little disbelief or concern if the coach is really telling you how it is. And, you know, he's not a big emotional rah-rah guy. He's direct, to the point, very difficult to misunderstand. And he's been through it enough that his ability to think quickly under pressure in intense environments and do it well, and everybody on the sideline, all his players in the halftimes, and these things, you know, they expect him to tell them what they have to do to win the game in the second half, and they go out and do it. You know, that's just, they don't second guess him, you know.
Yeah. Well, the Chiefs and Andy Reid, a big part of the success, Super Bowl MVP Patrick Mahomes. So I want you to reflect on how he rallied them in the fourth quarter and the 13th quarterback in NFL history to win multiple Super Bowl championships. What a guy.
Well, you know, Patrick does so many things as a quarterback that you don't coach. I mean, those are innate things, the sidearm throws, looking one direction and throwing the other, the jumping up in the air, the throwing the ball with the left hand. He defies a lot of quarterback coaching techniques because he was born with these things. What Andy Reid has done is give him the opportunity to take advantage of these talents within a scheme designed to help him. You know, he really, in the Super Bowl, I don't know if he threw a pass over 20 yards the whole ballgame. Why not? The Eagles are a zone football team.
Yeah.
So they were content to throw high percentage, pick them apart in the zones, throwing to areas of the field that a defender may have a hard time getting there in time for defense. And they did it well. But in the second half of the game, in scoring every time they had the ball, I don't remember seeing the ball go beyond 20 yards on any throw. Okay, so his percentage completion is going to be better. And attacking the zones, the completion ratio is going to be more consistent than many mix-up coverages, though they did run some blitzes and that kind of stuff. But I think the combination of Andy Reid's overall scheme against that kind of defense was an edge. Plus, the glaring thing that nobody mentions, even during the broadcast, and I haven't heard anybody talk about it after the game. During the game, they talked about how slippery the field was.
Right.
As soon as I heard that, I said, oh, boy, the offensive linemen are going to like this because it's going to nullify great pass rushers. Great pass rushers have to be able to get their feet in the ground firmly, especially the ends when they're coming around the corner, low shoulder, underneath the offensive tackles, outside shoulder, or making moves, plant a foot and come back underneath. You need firm contact with the ground. And with that turf, they weren't able to do that. So I think it gave – both teams were rushing on the same field, yes. But the Eagles' dominance all year was their pass rush. And I think that turf really nullified some of their ability to rush like they normally would or had in the past.
Hey, we are glad you're with us on this Saturday afternoon Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show, here in Hour 1 as we continue our conversation going one-on-one with Pro Football Hall of Famer, Super Bowl winning coach. He's a legend, and that is the great Dick Vermeil. As we recap Super Bowl 57, you know, even talking about Patrick Mahomes, what's just remarkable is that he wasn't 100%. I mean, you got to think about that ankle injury. I mean, those are hard to recover from, and how he was ready to go. He just muscled through it. That speaks a lot to his just his mental fortitude.
No, we all know people have different thresholds of pain, okay? I've seen that all through my career. There are some people that can't even spell it, okay?
Yeah.
There's no way you can hurt them.
Right.
They just don't feel it.
Uh-huh.
And Patrick is fortunate to be one of those kind of guys. But it was never a severe high ankle sprain. If it was, he wouldn't be playing it. Because, I used to outlaw the doctor when he walked in my office. Don't tell me it's a high ankle sprain.
Right, I've had one. Hear. They're painful.
Yeah. So, it can be miserable. But obviously he had a sprain, but it wasn't a serious one. So he could do what he did. But he would still probably, in any circumstance, perform better with an ankle injury than anyone else would. Because that's just him.
You're listening to the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the Sports Map Radio studios, here's Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Right now, we're going to continue with Pro Football Hall of Famer Dick Vermeil. So give us your takeaways from the Chiefs' defense. We talked, obviously, a lot about the offense, but they certainly tightened the screws in the second half and played much better, contained Jalen Hurts, and didn't allow what his just explosive rushing attempts.
Well, with all that said and done, chances are if the Eagles don't fumble the ball and allow the Chiefs to score a touchdown on a fumble recovery, they still win the game. Okay, so that's what's the magnitude of the Super Bowl. Whoever wins the ball game, anything done poorly in the game is eliminated.
Okay.
Yeah. I really think, having been there twice, winning one and losing one, I can speak with some authority on it. But, the defense, Coach Spagnuolo did a great job, no question. And there's no question about that. And Jalen Hurts played extremely well. But they didn't get the ball in the second half. The Chiefs held the ball in the second half. And they were so efficient in eating up the clock. When the Eagles got the ball back, they didn't have as much time to do what they would like to do. The running game takes more time in these kinds of things. And the clock picks on you. But that's what made it a great football game. The Eagles will be back. Why? They have a great quarterback in a young guy that's going to be outstanding with the attribute to be able to run like a running back. As long as they keep him healthy, they're going to be competitive. They got a young coach that in the second year takes the team to the Super Bowl. The only negative of that is from now on, he will be judged by that 14-win season, and anything not that good will be a view of criticism by everybody, especially in Philadelphia. Yeah, look at Doug Peterson. Takes them to a Super Bowl and win, and 3 years later he's fired. Okay, so you can have too much success too soon. And that's the only negative Nick has in his background right now.
Right. So what are your expectations when we look ahead to 2023 when we talk about Jalen Hurts, the Eagles? I mean, they're right there in your backyard. I know that you're close even with that organization. What do you expect next year?
Well, I believe the Eagles will be competitive. They'll be a playoff caliber football team every year. Howie Roseman's done a remarkable job as general manager and manipulating the salary cap and bringing veterans with 1 or 2 years left or a contract type of thing and getting a year out of them. It'll be harder to do, as everybody knows, once they sign Jalen Hurts to the quarterback contract. He's playing for $3 million a year. Now all of a sudden it goes to $45 million a year. You don't have as much money to spend on an annual basis on guys that are out on the street that you pay $2 or $3 million to come in and finish their career. They may not have that money anymore. So the development of players that you have is going to be even more important than it's ever been there. It'll be tougher, but they will be successful.
And, of course, when I think about the Eagles, you just have to wonder, after losing the Super Bowl, you've been on both sides, Dick. You had just mentioned that. This is a time of reflection, gaining a deeper understanding of who you are as a player, as an organization. And you just have to think that this is going to serve as a motivational fuel for next year as they look to regroup from a 3-point loss. I mean, they were so close in many ways.
Well, Jalen Hurts made a statement after that game that is really strong, mature statement.
Yeah.
And he said, in the Super Bowl, you win or you learn. You don't win and lose.
Right.
You win or you learn. And that's how he looks at it. So he's not walking around hanging his head on the fact that he lost a football game, like a lot of us did at one time in our careers. He's walking around. He said, I'm using that as a learning experience. And that, as a leader, that's a great principle to add to everybody's thinking. It's everybody's responsible for learning and getting better so they can one day, win, okay, and not lose. So I thought that was a wonderful statement.
We are wrapping up our time. Pro Football Hall of Famer, famer and Super Bowl winning coach. He's a legend. Dick Vermeil has been with us this afternoon at Sports Map Radio Network. And as I wrap up, I mean, you're 85 years young, Dick. So what happens after the big game? How did that work for you as far as transitioning into retirement and walking away from the game that, you know, was such a huge part of your life? I mean, help us understand the psychology of that and retiring not only as a head coach, but also as an athlete. I'm kind of thinking about, you know, Tom Brady, and yeah, he's got seven Super Bowl rings in 23 seasons, but that's got to be difficult.
It is, you know, and I've coached three teams and never got fired. One reason I didn't get fired, I didn't stay there long enough to get fired. Eventually I would have, okay, I'd stayed. I know that's just the nature of the National Football League. But I, really, you know, football coaches like myself and other coaches, they have families, okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I left the Rams. I was having 11 grandchildren in our area, and I didn't know anything was going on with them. I wasn't going to their soccer games, volleyball games, graduation ceremony. I wasn't going to any of them. I was coaching football.
Yeah.
And the only way I could take advantage of this phase of my life now, being a grandfather, is to not be coaching. And, of course, I was, you know, when I left the Rams, I was in my 60s. So it seemed like the right thing to do. And, I second-guess it once in a while, but not critically. Mm-hmm. But the other thing you find out, after you retire and you come home, those three families with 11 grandkids, they aren't sitting around waiting for grandpa to come by.
Yeah.
Every time you call and say, hey, let's what's going on? What's going on? They got something else they're doing.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, but anyway, it allowed, by retiring, it allowed me to be a participant in the next part of our family, which in coaching, it's almost impossible.
Well, and listen, Dick, you didn't power down at all. Now you've got your wine business. So as we wrap up today's interview, give a plug for Vermeil Wines and direct our listeners where they can go and get some.
You know, well, you know, our wines are high-end, expensive wines because we have high-end winemakers and a great winery that makes them. And we get the vineyards from a cream-of-the-crop vineyard in the Calistoga area, Freddie Annie Vineyard, that I've been involved with all my life. So, you know, and it's not a major deal. This year we picked 39 tons of grapes. We'll make about 2,100 cases of wine, and it's really all sold online or in the wine club. And we have Missouri Wine Club members, Kansas City Wine Club members.
Uh-huh.
We have, you know, we have 154 of them in Philadelphia area, okay? So we're over 500 wine club members, and probably by the end of this year, we'll have close to 600. We'll probably max out around 700 because, you know, we don't want to make a lot of wine. We just want to make it the way it should be made and take advantage of the talent that we have, just like you try to do with a football team. Just take advantage of the talent you have, and we have Thomas Brown. And now we just lost Andy Jones, who was working with Thomas, and a new winemaker that Thomas Brown is going to assign that works with and will take over because our guy is going to a bigger, better venture in his career for him. And so, you know, it's we're pleased. It's going well. Our problem is competition in the Napa Valley. No one makes bad wine.
Right.
Over 600 wineries in the Napa Valley. No one makes bad wine in Napa Valley. Some is better than others, according to your taste. But on First Street in Napa, 1018 First Street, where our wine tasting room is, when we started there were 8 tasting rooms in that whole area. Now there are 56 of them.
Wow. So that place has exploded. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. So what do you do? Yeah, you do the best you can and try to improve on it. Okay. And that's what, and we have one edge. And none of those people that have those tasting rooms making good wine and selling good wines have any kind of a sports influence. And we have my football career and that kind of thing in the background of that tasting room. So that's a little bit different. They can walk in that tasting room and see a Super Bowl trophy. Now they can walk in there and see my Hall of Fame bust. They can see a few pictures of a football career, which they can't see. And since, you know, the average audience is 17 million for an NFL game, TV, you know there's a lot of interest. So I think that helps us through the tough times. It doesn't sell the wine the second time, but sometimes it gets you in there the first time.
That's right. And, Coach, we're all about getting that competitive edge, right?
You bet.
Hey, listen, have a great weekend. And if you are just tuning in, go to VermeelWines.com. And Coach Vermeil will take great care of you. Super Bowl legendary coach, Pro Football Hall of Famer. He is simply the best. Coached 240 NFL games, a pro coaching career that spanned 19 seasons in the NFL. All the best, and we look forward to another conversation again real soon. Thank you.
Thank you, Alyssa. Bye-bye.
You bet. Stick around. Much for coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back after this quick break.